listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Perfect transition here. You'll see what I'm doing. To remind you, those that are in, and it's the biggest number ever for us in college pick'em to make your picks for this coming week. Yes, disgustingly, we did have a perfect score in college pick'em. I told y'all starting Monday when I filled in on the morning show, I feel like I'm a coiled black mamba ready to strike at the first position. I'm at a 50-way tie at 325 in the the college pick'ems. I think he's somewhere between number one and 325. It's my friend John Sharp from AL.com. You're not at 325. I don't see you down in the 325s.
It's nothing like being at week one and having that. You should have John Sharp's officially eliminated from postseason contention flash up on your Facebook page.
There'll be somebody mathematically. I think you're still in.
Okay.
Where you are. I think mathematically it might be impossible for me to ever recover from week one in college pick'em.
It was tough. I did. Happy about the Colorado pick. I picked Colorado.
Nice play. But what happened to your other picks then?
I don't remember. I don't recall.
That's what you all say.
It's like you get the tough question right on the test, and then the easy ones you tend to miss.
Got to go back and check your work,
yeah,
John.
Check your work.
That's right. A lot to talk about here, and this is interesting because I listened to the mayor on earlier with Jeff, and Mayor Stimson going in this powwow of mayors and discussion of the West Alabama corridor and what this could mean to Mobile. And I mean, it's an angle I haven't thought of before because I look at it as, you know, I'd like the money to be spent on Highway 45. I'd like the idea of widening 65. But they do make a case here that maybe this West Alabama corridor could be good for Mobile and the port and elsewhere.
Yeah, the discussion is from Mayor Stimson and Mayor Maddox and mayors up and down the line there from Tuscaloosa to Mobile is that this would be a viable alternative to I-65 when I-65 becomes essentially a traffic concern, you know, congestion mm-hmm. concern, that you would have this alternative. Now, there are those who are skeptical about that who's going to take this state highway. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to Tuscaloosa directly.
If they go up there and get on that 2059, you know, they could go. I don't know where all the trucks are going. That's a problem. I don't know where all the trucks are going, but I know that recently I've had some time on 65, gone up to Birmingham a couple times, and there are a bunch of trucks on 65.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bunch. So, but I don't know if they're all going somewhere that if they had another route, they would go.
Well, the timber trucks are not. They're going up
true.
On the state highway. And that was another thing. You know, this is an economic development project. So you have mayors that are going to get together and say, hey, you know, we have industry in this part of the state that is sometimes forgotten by lawmakers. Well, often forgotten by lawmakers is their argument.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is the West Alabama Highway Corridor is a project that they have wanted and advocated for 50 years. I mean, that's Mayor Sheldon came straight from Mayor Sheldon Day, that you can go all the way back to Governor Patterson. They've advocated for some sort of corridor through this part of the state. It just has not materialized. When you talk to Senator Chris Elliott, and he's been critical of this project, he would like to see that money reinvested in widening 65. His argument is that, well, you know, this has gone on for 50 years for a reason. You know, you know, the governors are taking a hard look at this project, saying there's just not the traffic in that area. There's not the economic energy and development in that area. But from the mayors and the public officials, of course, in West Alabama, you know, that's their constituency. They're going to support this project, and they feel that this would be re-energizing for their economies, especially through the Black Belt region, which we all know and, you know, has been well documented, has had its struggles over the many, many decades. And they view this as, you know, you build a road and development will come.
Well, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, that's kind of the viewpoint. But, you know, on the other side of things as well, we have this other priority. It's called I-65. We should widen the lanes and focus on that. So it's an interesting becomes this either-or discussion. Now, the governor came in and has said, you know, she's supportive of the U.S. 43 / Alabama State Route 69 project now. It's the West Alabama Corridor. She's supportive of this project. She you know, highlighted.
It's kind of her. That's kind of her brand. Where
right.
Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, 65, has been kind of his brand.
So it's become this kind of this either or, and she's kind of trying to say, look, we can do both of these projects, and hey, look, we've also invested money in certain sections of I-65 as well.
That where they're going to do like Calera to somewhere up there.
And so that's there's been some money spent there as well. But then you throw the former president who came to Montgomery,
right?
Who said this is going to be my number one priority if I'm reelected, or
which I have trouble buying. But it got a big cheer.
They got a big cheer. So, there's a lot of interesting political jockeying going on right now. But now, the news of what's going on, we had this press conference yesterday up in Thomasville. Mayor Day hosted it. We had Mayor Stimson, Mayor Maddox there from Tuscaloosa. And it also came on the eve of Mayor Day's meeting with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth to talk about transportation priorities. So, there's a little bit of, a lot of political posturing going on.
Right. See, and so it's not just me. I mean, John's saying this, too. There are two things going on. There's a discussion of roads, and there's also gubernatorial politics in the mix.
Yeah, and a question of priorities. And so that's, it is an interesting, I mean, Governor Ivey wants to see this, clearly this road's not going to get done in 3 years.
Right.
You know, but
could be her legacy.
Right, but they're starting, the Linden project's ongoing right now. They're building a 7-mile bypass around Linden, and that is going to be part of the project, the overall project. So that's about 10%, that's what Mayor Day said, of the overall project could be completed when the Linden bypass is completed, which I have not gotten a timetable on exactly when that might be. Now, they'll start on other sections as well on 43. I think there's some discussions about moving forward on a contract down by Dixon Mills and starting there as well. So it's moving forward. I mean, ground's been broken on this project. It's just how far will we go on it, going forward.
The price tag, I've heard the number move around some, but their numbers are all pretty darn big. We're talking about a lot of money.
Yeah, we got two major projects, and we don't know the price tags on either one of them. What would the I-65 widening cost?
Yeah, and I don't know. I've heard more discussion of the West Alabama corridor. The hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars there, but I don't know what it would take for 65.
Yeah, so we have two projects, massive amounts of money, a big ticket north-south projects that, if we can do both of them, wonderful, but I think there's some skepticism whether or not that can happen.
Yeah, I editorialize about this because it's my job, but I do wonder, and maybe actually it's a fair question for Transportation Department, what's the mission statement for Transportation Department? Is it like in a triage list? If you have road projects, I make this argument because of my obsession with how deadly 45 is, that public safety should be number one. But that's my opinion. I don't know that that's in the letter of the law what they do. But then you can say secondarily, maybe increasing revenue for the state, 65, that what transports so many tourists to South Baldwin, moves a lot of freight, these kind of things between, the new idea between the port and the intermodal port up in Montgomery, those kind of things. You could argue that that's better for the state because it brings more money. And then it would be nice if would be third. And I see the West Alabama corridor. I have seen it. Maybe they make an argument that sways me a little bit, that that's a third choice, that, if you build it, they will come. Well, you've got these other things. You got this thing built that's deadly, 45. You got 65 that shows it's got a lot of traffic because it moves all these people from the beach to Chattanooga or wherever. So where does West Alabama, in their priority list?
Well, you see Mayor Stimson coming out, and it sounds like it's a high priority. That's from an economic development perspective.
Yeah, I had not heard that.
That's coming from the port of, the port of Alabama, I'm sure, has weighed in as well. They had presence at that press conference, too. So, yeah, you got some heavy hitters that are supporting that West Alabama corridor.
All right, John, speaking of money in our state, too, y'all can check all these out, of course, at AL.com, and we'll talk about John's Twitter or X handle where you can trash talk football and look at news stories. But this is like the hood ornament for what I've said is the problem with the amount of federal largesse that came to the states, during COVID. Your headline here, Alabama lawmakers fret over potential of returning $100 million or more in COVID funds. Now, why would they have to return the money, John?
Well, we have deadlines. We have projects that aren't under construction or aren't underway
yet. They couldn't get it. It was so much they couldn't spend it. It's like the Brewster's Millions. Remember that movie? You had to spend all the money to get the other money?
I think yeah, perhaps you're right there.
So much money, you can't spend it.
But there is a committee in Montgomery that is going to be doing more work, I have a feeling, an oversight committee, and they're going to be meeting with state agency heads to make sure that this money is spent, it is allocated appropriately, and that it's not going to be returned back to the federal government. There's deadlines coming up. You know, we have the year 2026 in which a lot of this money needs to be spent or out the door, and projects need to be well underway.
Because we heard all the discussion exactly of rural broadband and sewer systems and all this, which, shame on me, but made me think, well, they're doing this.
Yeah.
They want to come on the radio with me and talk about it. They must have these things ready to go.
Well, yeah. The word shovel ready has different meanings to others. But,
yeah.
You know, Senator Elliott mentioned Fairhope. You know, there's all these projects going on in Fairhope. They're not part of the priority list for ADEM. Their water, you know, we're well aware down here of their situation with water emergencies. And, you know, they have people living on septic, you know, that they don't have running water.
And here's the money. Here's the money to address this, but they can't get it out the door fast enough.
And the argument from Senator Elliott and from Mayor Sullivan is that we can make this happen. And so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And you don't know whether or not that becomes, well, what about Fairhope, or we want to, you know, we got these projects in the other part of the states. Do we start this either or situation again?
But then everybody, I mean, this is how a negotiation would be done. I'd say, all right, cowboys, cowgirls, if we don't get this, and listen, you can make the argument that the money should go back to the taxpayers, but it's not going to happen. The other states got it. So we're dealing with the rules of the game as played. I'd tell everybody else, say, if y'all don't get a move and agree to some of our projects, and we don't agree to some of your projects, no projects will be done. We'll have to send this money back. So hundreds of millions of dollars.
So everybody pays the price.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's politically.
That's why it wouldn't last long. That's why it wouldn't last long. I said, listen, if y'all keep this up, I'm not getting my project. You're not getting your project. It's all going back to Washington. So should we sit down and discuss this, like grown-ups?
Yeah.
That's just an idea. Right. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Can you hang out for a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to the news. Come back. More with John Sharp. AL.com. He is somewhere between number 1 and number 352 in college pick'em. So go look to see him strike back at the first top, your top five by this weekend.
I hope.
I feel it.
Right. Okay.
I feel it.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to have my friend John Sharp from AL.com in. You can read his stories, of course, at AL.com, or go directly to Talk Football Trash and get news stories over at X. Or I have trouble calling it that. Why you abandoned the brand name Twitter, I don't know, but X, they find you what? At John Sharp 99.
Yeah, John Sharp 99 is no different. You type in Twitter, it takes you right there.
There you go. Yeah, that's true. I wonder who will be the last person who refuses to call it X. It might be me. One of the stories I want people to check out, and it's a subject we talked about on this show, and I know the morning show did, and Jeff did as well, and you've reported on it, and the death from EEE of a 7-year-old girl in Spanish Fort. Tell me about that 7-year-old girl, who that is.
Well, the story's up on AL.com. It's a story about Julia Grace Ashworth. And I sat down and talked to her father last week, and he told me all about his daughter. And, you know, the story is basically written from that interview, and I encourage everyone that, you know, to read about it. She was and again, the story's up on AL.com, just a... he described her as the perfect child, the perfect girl, and a lot of parents say that about their children, but the way he described her is that she certainly was a wonderful, wonderful little girl, and I wanted to make sure that her story was told, and better than me saying it over the radio, just to encourage people to read about her. And about her lovely family. And
but this story between people that know them personally, the family, or just the community at large, I heard more about this story in emails to me and stuff on Facebook and all that. And I think it just hits so many parents that, like, just how and people lose children in a horrible way, but this was so quick, and it was just, I don't know, left a lot of people hurting out there.
Yeah, a lot of people are still hurting, obviously. You know, I got the news release about this official confirmation in August 21st, I think it was, from Department of Public Health, and it described as, two people have gotten mm-hmm. Eastern equine encephalitis, and result in one fatality.
Right, we hear these stories in news quite a bit.
Yeah. No details about anybody, and then it came out, one of the news stations, 7-year-old girl, and I'm like, the whole time I knew who the, mm-hmm. who it was. My daughter attends the same school, neighborhood school in mm-hmm. Daphne as Julia, and so I went through those channels of folks that I know at the neighborhood school and was able to set up this interview with JP. And, I was glad able to tell her story. And again, I encourage everyone to check the story out. Mm-hmm. She loved the outdoors, the way JP described it, and going up to Clark County and stuff like that. Just a lively, energetic girl, loved to play outdoors and be outdoors. Again, I get in all the details, on the story, and just encourage people to read about her. And a very rare mosquito-borne virus. There's two of these cases in the same neighborhood in Spanish Fort from the people I've talked to, and they've got the experts now on the site on the scene. And they say that's, it's almost, I said, is this unheard of? Yeah, mm-hmm. pretty much, to have within the same neighborhood. So,
there's this suite of mosquito-borne diseases that get discussed this time of year. I mean, I often talk about the sentinel chickens, right, that Mobile County Health Department has, and when they're looking for West Nile virus, and it seems to be about August each year, then that pops, and, you have EEE pop, and mm-hmm. in the past, we talked about Zika, we talked about all the, these mosquito-borne diseases. You think, well, that's something of the third world. It does exist here.
Well, maybe we need to be more, we need to be discussing it more, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because we do live in the deep south, in an area that's surrounded by swampland.
Yeah.
And
mosquitoes they're part of life. Yeah.
Back to, the story real quick. I want to make mention that, the family's working to put together a foundation for Julia Grace Ashworth. Yeah, in her memory. And they got a lot of, they're working hard to put that together. And I think there'll be more details coming out soon about it. And
because I know there's a lot of people that have contacted me at this station that have been interested. So now they can read your story and get more information there. And then
there's a link to a GoFundMe account on my story in which you can go to that the family set up. Now the money that's raised from that will go towards the establishment of this foundation. And the family is working hard to put that together right now.
Okay, and you can check that out by going directly to AL.com or going through our Facebook page or other social media feeds and check out John's story there as well. And then on a happy note, as you look at the loss of Jimmy Buffett over the weekend, a celebration of his life, and this is something that is near and dear to you and I, who both are guys that love some Mardi Gras. Right?
Yep.
Love some Mardi Gras. And when this came out, that a second line parade is going to come out to commemorate the life of Jimmy Buffett. This is pretty cool. This is going on this weekend.
Yeah, I just found out about that today. Yeah, it's kind of a neat little, maybe a little organic thing that's popped up, and certainly appropriate given that, Jimmy Buffett's roots in Mobile. It's his hometown. He was born in Mississippi.
Yeah, Pascagoula.
He grew up in Mobile. So
CNN messed that up, and maybe the Telegraph. When I looked at, they had him born in Mobile. I'm like, nah, he's born in Pascagoula. But listen, hey, we'll take the credit.
Interestingly, Mayor Stimson indicated that the city would like to do something to, memorialize Jimmy Buffett as well, and probably appropriate. We've got so many celebrities that have just made an impact in their field that grew up in mm-hmm. Mobile. I mean, Hank Aaron. I mean, come mm-hmm. on. You need more of a stamp of approval in Major League Baseball or professional sports than him. And then you got Jimmy Buffett that, he's just a legendary singer-songwriter. So, it'll be interesting to see what might evolve out of that.
Yeah, well, I know the suggestion that was discussed was naming the Bayway or the Mobile I-10 Mobile River Bridge Project for him, but I'm like, I don't know if Jimmy and a toll bridge Yeah. The vibe may not line up. But by the way, this party's, here's what we got. Let's celebrate the amazing life of Jimmy Buffett in his own hometown with a second line parade through downtown Mobile and an after party at Moe's Original Barbecue. Come dressed in your best parrot head attire or Jimmy Buffett-inspired costumes and be prepared to dance in the street behind the Blowhouse Brass Band. Way to go, Blowhouse. Way to go, St. Paul's. Musicians of all kinds and any other brass bands are encouraged to bring their instruments and jam out in the second line as well. We'll put the link up on our social media platforms for this as well. I'll say this, it may be Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. You get more information. There may be a link somehow between this event and somebody on Mobile Mornings. Leave it there. It's a tease. Some kind of link there as well. John, good luck this weekend in college pick 'em.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I need it.
See you at the bottom.
All right, y'all, coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.